Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise, and this is the Dr. Denise Show. And I have had Paul Sheasley on earlier this month on the Embrace Your Neurostyle series, and we're bringing him back today. Paul is a psychotherapist in Washington, D.C. He works with many people that make important decisions for our country and diplomats, foreign diplomats. He works with them all around the world, helping them to maintain their stress. Paul and I just did an episode called High Powered Stress and gave some tips, tools, and more about coming out of the pandemic. And I had no idea. I did not know it was going to get to this level with what our world's going through. So, Paul, thank you so much for being back on the show today to talk more.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me back. And I'm looking forward to today's broadcasts.
So I want to say my process of making the decision to just invite you back, I kept getting your name three times. And my intuitive processes and creativity and having guests is just what's going on in the world? What are the different series I'm doing? And who would I want to have back on to talk about tips, tools, and more? I feel like as a humanity, we're just coming out of this pandemic. We've been fighting, you know, for health, you know, the economy, the stress, just basic needs. And now, I don't know, maybe you can tell me how you're feeling about the current world events.
Yeah, it's stressful. And I think I share that similar sentiment with other people, especially my patients and those that are close around me. And it's a reactivation for me and as well as other folks, you know, coming out of the pandemic and just going through the stressors of uncertainty and just having a lot of anxiety and just how is this going to affect me? How is this going to affect others? How is this affecting even my patients and families and friends? And so there's definitely a vigilance there. I find myself kind of responding in the way that I think many other people are in terms of gathering as much information as possible to kind of subside that anxiety by just getting a sense of information and control. But it's overwhelming.
So with that being said, I want to do a mindful pause for the people in Ukraine, and also many people in Russia too are not feeling okay about this decision to have this attack on Ukraine. And what you just said, I want to echo. I had been feeling this weight of the world, deep compassion when I see people trying to flee their homes, the people of Ukraine feeling displaced. I saw a message on Facebook, one of my medical school colleagues, her homeland is Ukraine. So Paul, I thought, what could I do on Friday night? I was feeling, you know, overwhelmed, deep compassion, sadness. What does this mean for safety of Ukraine, safety of the world, safety for all of us? So I just decided to pick up, you know, the Facebook Messenger, see how my med school colleague was doing. And I asked her, is there anything you need? Can I just give you a call? And so I feel like sometimes when we're having that learned helplessness, when there's so much trauma going on, we have to look at our own situation and how can we reach out to another human being? And then she and I, you know, this is a doctor who is in primary care. She's on the front lines, just, you know, facing, helping others to just recover from COVID, very fatigued, very tired, and now faced with relatives that, you know, are stuck in Ukraine. And so we just held sacred space for one another. And I just, you know, we did an intentional prayer. You know, she told me how her different relatives are trying to flee the country. And so there's different ways we can help by reaching out, and then there's also things we can donate to. But I don't know, that feeling of almost like I've seen many people on social media talk about like a learned helplessness. And so I think I like to take that energy when you're feeling that way and figure out what you personally, each individual, no matter where you're at in the world, if you have compassion for humanity, what can you do to manage your stress and then also do something to help your fellow man?
Absolutely. And it's okay to have this a normal, healthy response to what's going on and what's happening. You know, that feeling of uncertainty and concern, the anxiety and fear, the helplessness, it's all normal. And I think that's so important to remind people that, you know, they're not alone. And to make sure that they continue to include in their life the things that they've already been doing to help them cope. And when you talk about reaching out to a colleague or reaching out in some way, it's so empowering to be able to assist in a humanitarian effort. And that's another way of, I think, helping them, but also helping oneself in terms of just how to cope with this. Because acting on things is a sense of control, and doing things is a sense of control. And I think that's, you know, that's a top tier response to especially what's going on in the Ukraine and Russia situation. And obviously other comforts of life, talking to therapists, talking to friends, talking to family, are all very important coping skills.
And it seems like there's also a lot of groups online that are doing like getting together and having group intentions. I know you and I are in different regions of the country. I grew up in the Midwest. I live in Southern Cal. Are you in Washington or are you in Virginia right now?
Washington,
D.C. So today I was invited. I'm actually going to like a retreat later on at one of my dear friend's house. So I spend a lot of time in nature. And some people believe in a higher power and some don't. But they believe in the power of humanity and altruism. And mm-hmm. So depending on where you're at, I was also invited to another meditation event. This is very like in Midwest. This is really kind of how it is in California. And yeah. I have places I can go, but also online, people like Gabby Bernstein, Deepak Chopra, Mary Shriver, I've been sharing tips and tools, and, you know, therapists have been talking about mindfulness. So mm-hmm. people like to do things like you just mentioned, whether it's their keeping a routine of their fitness, good nutrition. People, if you have the fiscal ability to donate money to different charities, but that's tricky too. You want to make sure they're above board. A lot of times there's a lot of fraud going on and a lot of clickbait. Mm-hmm. So can you just speak about what the pulse of consciousness is like in Washington, D.C.? I know that obviously you and I are both under confidentiality with our clients. So I'm going to ask you like broad strokes, what the pulse of your geographic location is, especially since I try to do what I call grab and go with the news. We talk about that on my On Staying Sane series. Uh-huh. And the justice as the news of talks comes as Russian President Putin orders his country deterrence forces, which includes nuclear arms, to be placed on high alert. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to launch this show right after, but we're on high alert. So I'm wondering what the pulse of consciousness is for you as a therapist, for you being in Washington, D.C. and all of your cohorts.
Yeah. So there's some objective and subjective feedback for that question, because there's been several polls that suggest that about around 50% of Americans are concerned of the Russians' influence, which is posing a threat to the U.S. And the subjective piece working with clients is that it is particular the way that they're coping again with the stress. And what I'm finding is that for some, there's a reactivation of additional stress and increased vigilance. So, you know, coming out of the pandemic, for those who've experienced 9/11, a lot of the individuals that I work with they're looking to news sources, right? We talk about getting online and yes. Using like healthy type of, whether it's mindfulness exercises or podcasts or whatever. Most people, though, what I'm finding is that they're using their media to find more information about what's going on. And I have to warn folks and say, you know, media is meant for entertainment. And you have to be careful of which news sources you're looking at, because we don't want you falling down a rabbit hole of news information. And just being constantly reactivating that stress response and uncertainty. And so it's so important to use one's time, I think, wisely in these matters, to finding reliable sources of information, but also using the resource of what's in front of you to, you know, to have a meditation session, podcasts, reaching out to, you know, doing a telehealth session with a therapist if you can't see them in person.
Paul, everything you're saying is so spot on. I just launched a show called Worried and Not Alone. And this was last week before this situation happened with Ukraine and Russia. And what you just mentioned is about different layers of stress response. So as a human being, and like when we talk about embracing our neurostyle, if we have any propensity towards generalized anxiety, if we've had a life event that's affected, most of us, if you've lived on planet Earth, have had a traumatic event. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have different variations of PTSD. There's full blown and then there's acute stress disorder. And I woke up last Sunday, Paul, and I had not, I'm not someone who has recurrent panic attacks. I don't have, I'm not on any medicine. I just do a lot of swimming, a lot of prayer, a lot of kind of know yourself. And my reason for waking up with that is multifactorial. I had a decision to make. And sometimes your physiological response, the flight or fight, is actually a good thing. I woke up and it was informing me to not travel somewhere, that it wasn't going to be a good idea. And it was a reactivation of some stuff I've had happen before with fraud. But then one day later, I had a patient tell me she was having a panic attack at the exact same time I was feeling it. And I also had a family member have some medical issues this week that were pretty serious. So I wanted to just, I know this is my kind of geeking out on my embrace your neurostyle and beyond, but we have the generalized anxiety, we have PTSD, we have known individual possible diagnoses or neurostyles. And then when we are completely, this tags off of being like engaged and completely with our apparatus, our iPhone or our smartphone, we can trigger ourselves, the unseen energy of reading the stress. When I even just read the headlines today, let me just break it down. I purposely, Paul, here's my neuro style. I said, oh, it is Sunday. Yay, you get to talk with Paul. You need to eat a healthy meal. You need to have your coffee. You need to look at a little news flash, but don't look at the news flash first. Wait until you give your mind some clarity. I cleaned up my kitchen. It's one of my routines and coping strategies that makes me feel like my home is secure, my home is safe. Just deep breath. And then I looked at the news headlines right before. And last week, by the way, that panic attack for me dissipated when I went and called a friend and I swam and I figured out what it was. And I was actually grateful for that physiological response because it actually informed me to not do something. So I don't know if you can comment. I kind of unpacked a lot, but like my own neurostyle likes routine, likes what can I control? Am I having food, shelter, clothing, gratitude? I was grateful. Like, what a great meal I just had. Oh, I get to talk to Paul. So can you comment a little bit about like your own response to this and anything else I just mentioned?
Yeah. You know, what comes to mind is mindfulness and practice and implementing that as part of the daily routine. And I have one as well that, you know, it's practicing what you preach. And so when I talk to clients and tell them, don't reach over and grab your phone or get onto your computer, do something in the morning that influences you and can, you know, activate some sort of just relax, you know, whether it's a cup of coffee or playing with your pet or, you know, sitting out on your porch and just enjoying whatever weather element is there. It's having a routine. Cleaning, for example, is actually one of my stress relievers because I can just hyper focus on like vacuuming or something.
I can't believe you just said that. I feel like you and I should call each other right after this show. I'm like, Denise, you will mop and you will take out the garbage and your house will look normal. And then I'm like, you will pull charts for Monday. So you have like this sense of order. That's like, I was going to do my house routine before I head to the pool. And then I have to tell you, Paul, I get stuck sometimes when I'm, yesterday I was overly reading the news. I was in a loop. I called like my own loop. And so I set timers. I'm like, okay, Denise, at 10 a.m. you shall get your bathing suit on and you will go, you will step away from the news app. So I don't know if you do that kind of positive self-talk as well.
I do. And I set limits. And I think healthy limits are super important because our lives are not media. It's not the news. And I'm not saying to ignore what's happening in the world, but we need to be able to, for ourselves, know what we can take in and how much we can take in, because there's just so much to constantly take in that we can very easily find ourselves in a space that's really unhealthy for us and even unhealthy for the people that are around us. So,
I have to do that. What you just said, Kathleen O'Toole is my dear co-host I've known since age 9 on the On Staying Sane series. And she's an Emmy award-winning news reporter. And we came up with the term of mindful ingestion. Mm-hmm. Mindful ingestion of anything, the news, the media, your environment. So exactly what you're talking about. And the word balance, you just use the word balance. And yeah. I think a lot of what people know, the inner psyche. One of my dear friends is one of the attorneys for one of the major news stations. I won't say which one. And she told me when we were out to dinner celebrating her birthday that in their media, they study what the different demographics are and get them hooked by certain phraseology. Mm. And she told me, like, Denise, stay pure, stay what you're doing with the Dr. Denise. Because I, you know, I've had some opportunities. Doesn't mean I won't, you know, speak with a network or do a project or collaboration, but there's a lot of studies of how to get people hooked to their station. And mm-hmm. so once you're aware of your own neurostyle, like, would you, my neurostyle, I wouldn't say I have a formal diagnosis, but I like to use the word neurostyle that we all process and perceive things in our own unique way. I kind of have like obsessive compulsive personality style, a little bit of that grandy, like hypomanic, but in a good way where I can use it to channel an entrepreneur spirit a little bit. I kind of have like sub thresholds of all these cool things. Mm-hmm. So when we have an awareness of our neuro style, like my, I'm like, Denise, you're overly reading these articles. You get the main idea, grab and go. So do you understand your neuro style? And then how do you help the people in your practice to do that as well?
Oh yeah. I think I, as well as many others, have a tendency to personalize events in the world. And so, for example, working with some of my clients, one of the vulnerabilities that comes to mind is finances and how what's happening in the world will affect their kind of financial vulnerability and or their lifestyle, just as much, just as they reference, you know, the pandemic and how supply and surplus, you know, was a challenge. And so, you know, with inflation and the cost of oil and gas and, you know, people, they become concerned because the people around them are concerned, and it can become quite overwhelming. And so what I tell folks, as well as myself, is the best we can is don't over-personalize, you know, information. Try to keep ourselves out of it in a way that's, you know, that we can say, okay, this is real, this is happening. But let's not borrow trouble. Let's not take it to a place that hasn't directly, isn't currently affecting us, because we often worry and have concern about things that actually don't formulate, they don't materialize the way that our anxious minds think that they will.
Can I just tag off of what you're saying? So I want to thank you because I love the linear mind and what you're discussing. So I talk about the linears versus the non-linears. And I have another quick show I did called Browser Windows and Karmic Burners. So mm-hmm. when you're talking about the vulnerabilities of finance, lifestyle, supply, and surplus, you know, let's be real. I just ordered groceries. They came this morning. And when I was ordering last night, I'm like, oh my goodness, does this really cost this much? Mm-hmm. I was looking at just the bare like dino chicken nuggets or kombucha. Like, I'm like, then instead of going into a worry place, I said, you know what? When I was eating my nice, healthy breakfast, I was having gratitude. Like, mm-hmm. yes, I have food, shelter, clothing. So ways to calm yourself down when you look and you hear the word surplus, economy, oh my God, the stock market. Like, it just comes at you when you have discussions. When you mm-hmm. contain it, and when I say linears and non-linears, the linears are just like today is Sunday. Like you said, I'm going to clean my home. Last night, I paid some of my bills, so I'm ahead of my own budget. I looked at the reality. I'm like, okay, Monday looks like a busy day. What do you need to do to be relaxed, to go into your week the right way? What can I control? And I have different notebooks, Paul. I have mm-hmm. notebooks that are my vision notebooks that are, I call those my karmic burners, the more bigger life goals with like how to reach more people with my show, how to have gratitude. Then I have my other notebook that's kind of the boring stuff I need to get done. So yes. I call it my, and then those boring, I've learned, I don't know if you've done this, but I told myself right before I was going on the show, Denise, you love to mop the floor. Like you're going to mop that floor and it's going to be a meditation. So I used to have like this real big, and I still have, I'll admit, procrastination on cleaning or paying bills, but I've come mm-hmm. up with new ways of talking to myself that make it like it's a gift to myself to get that done. So I have less stress.
Yes. Yeah, I'd love that. And it makes, if you could see me smiling about some of these things that work for you, everybody. I love when people share that because it's so interesting to see how, people operate. And, I do too. I mean, I have like post-it notes and I have different pads for different things. I have different music and genres set up for when I do certain things.
Oh my gosh, Paul, I feel like I would have like a little Paul doll and a little Dr. Denise. Oh my gosh, I would do the same thing. And like, if I told my patients, if you ever see me, by the way, I know the weather's very different here, so I'm not trying to be like making you jealous, but when I'm in my convertible, I told my patients, promise me if you see me singing, I do this thing where in the car when I go to pick up my son, because he likes it quiet once he gets in the car. It's like a very serious car once he arrives. Like, his day is over, mom. He needs the car quiet. So I pick him up with like music I love. And I'm like, I have these like different genres that I listen to too based on my mood.
Exactly. Yes. And it changes. It depending on my stress, I have, a subset of action and mindfulness that I execute depending on where I am and what I'm doing and what's coming into my world. And I ask myself, I have even a cognitive flow chart in my head of even challenging, do I need to really think this way? Do I, my feelings, what can I what can I do to decrease that anxiety? And so I try different things and I encourage people when I, because obviously I get to know people so well. I'll ask them, I'll say, tell me, what's it like when you have your cup of coffee in the morning? Are you enjoying your
Oh
cup of
my
coffee? Are you
gosh.
enjoying, tell me about it. And they think
I just
I'm, they're
advocate the
like,
reason why I'm laughing? I wish you were, we were on like air with on the camera. My cup of coffee, my mug today, I pick different ones that have different sayings, says, today will be awesome.
That's
So
great.
even if it feels like a stressful day, I try to infuse it with some levity, some
Yes, humor.
gratitude, some
Absolutely.
humor. I try to, I'm like, okay, so can you relate to this?
Oh my gosh. It's the mug thing. Right now you've got me. I have so many mugs that have so many sayings on them, and it cracks me up. And it's, when talk about humor, sometimes it's hard though, because our anxiety wants to take hostage all of our senses, all the hemispheres of the brain. And so sometimes it's really hard to find humor. And I tell people you can't give up because if you give up, then the anxiety wins and then the worry takes over. And so you have to really go back to, previous experiences of what has worked for folks in the past. And I love humor, whether it can be, self-generated, or we have to go to the media or talk to somebody that we find interesting just to be able to change, the way that we're feeling in terms of anxiety and finding that sense of like, yeah, this is good. I'm okay. That sense of,
So,
oh, I'm okay.
because we are dealing at this specific time, and you and I just gave general tips in our last show and this show, but this is like, to me, this level of world stress coming off of the pandemic, and now with Ukraine, a sovereign country, a democracy, I'm getting chills even when I'm talking about it. Watching the president of Ukraine just stand there so proud, and my friend from medical school said, my people are proud and we will fight. And just feeling this vulnerability for and compassion towards any democracy and anyone's human rights and their liberation. I know some people are still, they're living in the United States and they're struggling with poverty, or living anywhere in the world, people have poverty and they're fighting their own war every day. So one of my friends got really annoyed. She's like, oh, here we go. It's going to be like the in vogue thing for a little bit, then we're going to forget about Ukraine. I'm like, wait a second. Deep breath. This feels different. This feels like we, I don't, this is a very important thing that just came to mind. Because of the recent pandemic and the pandemic rollout that we're dealing with, I feel like humanity has been more on an equal playing field on health and immunity. And there's been some unity in trying to fight the pandemic together. So what I'm hoping is that we can stand strong and do our part in our any region of the world, in any fiscal situation, for helping with liberation, democracy. I was writing down things: independence, democracy, liberation, strength, and courage. So can you speak on those kind of higher level concepts for humanity that you're feeling and also your clients are feeling?
Yeah, I feel like the climate of togetherness has, I think it's going to stick. And, you know, when people talk about, like you had mentioned, forgetfulness of events, I think this is different, especially with the pandemic and, you know, now, you know, just this, you know, war, and wars have, you know, the unintended consequences, and just people being able to come together in unity. And when I see it on, you know, media, that, and, you know, in DC and other parts of the world, and even within circles of some of the therapeutic communities, just, you know, the outpour of heart and concern, and, you know, just wanting to help and be united in just many different ways, just on a human level, not just a geographic level, but a human level. I think, you know, it's really impressive, and it's actually quite relieving to know that that direction of togetherness, I think, is here to stay. And that feels good for me. And I think that that's comforting for a lot of people.
I did a blog post that I put called The Era of the Sociopath. Mm-hmm. And I literally tagged a bunch of different shows I did. I don't want to make this anything about race, gender, sexuality, or politics. But one thing I will say is dark energy and negative energy and fear-based energy and power energy. So I feel like a lot of people are getting empowered, no matter what their background is, to stand up for integrity and to stand up for our fellow man, woman, child. I feel like that unity of integrity, when you see a post, I saw a post and I reposted a very kind of famous picture where there's kids looking out, and there's, you know, people in tanks, you really realize that we all have children, no matter what our background is. We want the best. We are on planet Earth. There's 7.8 billion people. We don't have scarcity. There's a skew. Don't you agree that, like, it would be nice? I like the concept of capitalism with altruism and not greed. So I'm hoping that, I want you to speak now, because I know how I feel. I want to hear your feelings about, like, kind of bigger concepts like this.
Yeah, I think, you know, we are in a position to, you know, obviously to show strength and unity and to, like, not engage in appeasement. I think, you know, recognizing the complexities of the situation with Ukraine and Russia, and I think it gives light to other complexities around us that have been ongoing, even in the United States. And you know, in terms of even just talking about just diversity and inclusion. And I think that, you know, people want to, you know, be active. And I think we need to continue that progression. And I just kind of thinking about the appeasement piece, it's like, I don't think that we're in a position to stand for that. And it's clear. It's clear by the many voices that are out there.
So right here, I know you and I have given a lot of tips and tools, but I like to wrap up with some tips for people. And maybe I can just give some and then you can tag off and we make sure we're really thorough. Does that sound good?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So I think one thing is remembering everyone that we're not alone, that we're here on Earth. And when we open up our news, we can do what I call grab and go. It doesn't mean you're not having compassion towards your fellow humanity. It means you've got enough news, and then you need to take care of your own mental health, physical health, and spiritual health. I'm going to let Paul give some ways we can do that.
Yes. So, you know, as a nation, as a whole, as the individuals I work with, we have to have a level of commitment to, you know, understanding the powerful forces that are around us. And with that comes responsibility, but also becomes an understanding of self, that how much of this responsibility can I take on, whether that is obtaining information or being active and reaching out, that we need to know thyself and understand, okay, this is what's happening. This is the response that I'm having. This is how this is making me feel. These are my concerns. How am I going to take care of me but also continue to have that compassion and empathy and altruism that I feel so dedicated to. And so I think it, again, is coming back to finding that balance and having a self-talk of that, actually, and just knowing what I can do, what can I do, how much can I take, am I tired, am I overloaded, and then falling back onto the skill sets that one has in terms of, you know, how they, if you, with terms of anxiety or an uncertainty, it's, you know, getting back to those healthy coping mechanisms and making sure that they're a part of the equation through this.
So I love what you said about the taking responsibility. That tags off something I spoke about with Kathleen and on other shows of Worried and Not Alone. Asking yourself the question when you're reading something or with someone, asking if you're having a feeling state, ask, mm-hmm. who does this belong to?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like a, almost like buckets of, okay, this is the world stress. This is this stress. This is my family. This is mine. And then shifting that energy, the energy of fear or worry or stress, energy can be utilized. It's like rocket fuel. I call it rocket fuel for ascension. So you can use that energy. And even like, I'm going to get even more excited when I fill my cup of coffee. Now, when I look at quotes, I'll think, oh, Paul does the same thing. These simple things, like even last night, one of my dear friends is fighting a fraud case, and I've had fraud, and I was calling her throughout the night. I have a nickname for her. She reminds me of Zsa Zsa Gabor. She's really into her outfits. So I mm-hmm. called her and I said, go Zsa Zsa, go Zsa Zsa, go. Just like when I called my friend from medical school. So I think we have the identifying, like the cognitive, asking mm-hmm. the responsibility, who does this belong to, this feeling state? Then we have to look at, like, for me, I don't need any more news today for right now. I just don't. Yes. I already saw mm-hmm. something that's not good. And mm-hmm. I'm going to, after this call, eat a healthy meal. I do mm-hmm. prayer. I've got my notebooks. I think we need to remember that we're more tuned into one another the more we're tuned into our media. And not just media, our phone, our social media. Mm-hmm. When I say that, I mean everything. So creating safe spaces for ourselves. Do you want to give any other tips on that? And like maybe even a deeper dive of the Washington kind of, do you feel like it's an even higher red alert for you? I mean, I would imagine, maybe that's just me projecting, but I would feel like it's even more tense in Washington than other parts of the world. I don't want that to be a trigger for anyone.
Sure.
Ukraine has the highest stress in anyone living in poverty or having mental health or physical. I'm sending love and light to you. Sometimes the linear language can be offensive. I did not mean that only people in Washington are stressed. You know how people can take our things out of context too?
Yes, yes. So the one thing that I wanted to add is turning towards relationships. You know, as you turn towards your friend and you're supportive, I think it's also looking out for others that are really close beside you that may also be going through a similar response.
Yes.
Having similar anxieties and being able to just process that and not to amplify each other's anxiety and worry, but to be able to walk away from that conversation feeling heard and validated and maybe even having a plan and even coping together and doing things together, because relationships are so healing and they're so influential that we sometimes forget to get out of our own heads and to collaborate with other people and find that soothing kind of just natural influence that relationships have on us.
Paul?
And, yeah.
That's why I reached out to you. I thought, I just met Paul. We did a really nice interview on high-powered stress. You're on one side of the country. I'm on another. I love your logic and the way you think about things. I know that you and I, just being a therapist or being a doctor for myself, I love what I do, but at times it can be overwhelming. And I mm-hmm. have all the right coping strategies. I thought, you know what? I want to have Paul back on for many reasons. I just want to say, I wanted to be really precise and say, even reaching out to you yesterday was a form of comfort for me. I'm like, can Paul and I do a show together? That mm-hmm. made me feel better. Like, we're going to do some tips and tools. It was a feeling of empowerment, but not just for others listening, but for my own soul and connecting with you. And I'm like, I really like his integrity. I maybe we'll end up working together somehow, but I'm like, in just this moment of now, what an honor to spend this time with you.
Yeah. And I from yesterday, I was excited to be talking with you today. Cause I thought, you know, this is someone that I can relate to and talk about, you know, some of my own experiences, but also another way to have others listen in and see, even therapists and people of help also go through things too, you know, because we're human as well, and that we have feelings and we experience the world. And it's nice to be able to even model and show that it's okay to talk about these concerns and the anxieties that we have and how we handle them and what we do to cope and to center ourselves. So, you know, there's lots of reasons. I was very excited for today.
Yeah, me too. And I think this is actually, before we say where that people can find you, I just want to have that vulnerability of, I let myself have my feelings. I've learned that I can look at a day, and when I had a family member that was also ill, they're getting better now, I'm like, okay, Denise, deep breath. You're like, it's okay to be sad. Like, someone mm-hmm. you love has health issues and you really care about them. And then I'm like, but why don't you put that sadness in a good space? Like, let yourself have some tears, let yourself have some concerns. And what can you do? Can you reach out to them more? Can you send them a card? Can you rally? Just like you said, even my friend last night, when I knew she was going through some documents, legal documents, I went and paid my bills last night. I thought, well, I didn't feel like going out last night. I just wasn't feeling it. I didn't want to go. I don't like to do fake socializing. If I have a week where, this is a very important tip. I didn't even think about this. If we never know, I don't know if this is how, I never know what kind of a week I'm going to have as a doctor. I have a framework, but then stuff happens. And so then I'm even mindful on how I socialize. And I ask myself, is this a social? If I have one weekend that was more socializing, I might have more of an introvert weekend. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. And to be mindful of that again, to know thyself. Because I don't like to fake socialize either. It actually creates more stress, and it does me a disservice in terms of my own coping and rejuvenation, because I need me time. And to know when relationships in particular are coping in a positive way, but not putting the pressure that you have to be interactive with people. You don't have to be. You can say, you know, I'm just not feeling it today, and maybe next time, and just taking that space for yourself, because the greatest relationship is the one that you have with yourself.
Well, thank you. And where can everyone find you, Paul?
Yeah, so my website, www.paulsheesleylcpc.com.
Thank you. And also, I just really appreciate your time, your tips, and I'm going to want you back on more and more. If you ever have like a thought or a topic, just reach out to me. I want to be that organic and that mindful. It's more fun for me. And I have real gratitude that I met you. So thank you. And also, everyone, remember, you're not alone. Reach out to someone. Any situation you're having, someone else can also relate to. And grab and go with the media. And make sure to keep your own personal routine. So, okay. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you.